If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do on Herb Talk. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, that new polio-like disease. Have you heard about that? We're going to dive in. Also, we're going to talk about the brain a little bit, and if we get time, maybe some antibiotics. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, plus a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. We're lifting up the folks in the Florida panhandle. God bless them. We had high winds today, worse than Florence. I was a little concerned here in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, but it blew through pretty quickly. It was only here for maybe half a day. So it's on its way up to New England now, the Hurricane Michael. But we're going to lift up, Florida in prayer because they got a lot of devastation down there. We're going to dive into our devotional, and devotional talks about God's righteousness in Psalms 97, it says, the heavens declare his righteousness and all the people see his glory. The righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. The righteousness also of God is very high, and who has done great things, he who is like unto thee. So righteousness is a good thing. Even righteous anger, God says that's okay with him. You are allowed to have that, but it's got to be righteous anger. But then, of course, you know, you're supposed to have resolutions and not let your the sun go down on your wrath. So you're supposed to, you know, resolve things. But righteous anger is okay. It gets you stirred up to get things straightened out. Oh, and without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, scientists get this. They've connected three actual human brains. These are neuroscientists. They have this project they called BrainNet, where they have multi-person, non-invasive direct brain-to-brain interfacing going on for collaborative problem solving. So the researchers at the University of Washington and also Carnegie Mellon University figured out a way to connect three brains still attached to their human hosts, of course. And the owners said their brains had these collective choices that they could make and communicate without speaking. This was very interesting. So they used what is called an electroencephalogram, or EEG, and they recorded these electric impulses from two of the human brains. And then through a transcranial magnetic stimulation, they deliver information to the third human brain. So computer science, human-computer interaction published the paper at Cornell University. So if you want to go delve into that, yeah, who's going to be speaking in the future? Probably nobody. You won't need those vocal cords at all. All right, moving along to the quack report. We're going to be talking about this rare polio-like disease for the first segment of the show, but it's popping up all across the United States and in other countries. It seems to be targeting more children, but giving them the symptoms of polio. But the thing is these kids have already been vaccinated for polio. So since 2014, the CDC is reporting 362 cases, and modern medicine has some speculation on what's causing it, and we're going to dive into that in just a little bit. And last but not least in the quack report, here's a report on loneliness. It's emerging as a public health threat for the younger generations, not just the older ones. So Americans that are chronically lonely, they say loneliness can be an epidemic. And they say there's this landmark study that got published on the risk factor or morbidity of having loneliness in your life. It affects your blood pressure. It may increase your habits of smoking or drinking. Maybe you're more sedentary, more depressed. And so it does have an effect or impact on your health. So the survey that they did recently in the reported by Kaiser Family Health, The Economist, they said 9% of adults, 22% of those in Japan, and 23% in America and Britain say they often feel lonely. They lack companionship. So in the United States, they looked at 20,000 adults 18 and older, and they found that nearly half of the American adults said sometimes or almost always they felt alone. It's almost like, you know, you're in a big city with millions of people, yet you feel alone. And you know what? I really think loneliness like that, I think the technology is kind of having an impact. You know, people are all into their devices and communicating, but not in person. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Well, that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
All right, Frank, we are going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, hold on to your hat. We are going to be talking about this new polio-like disease. So the CDC and other health authorities are tracking what appears to be random cases of this rare type of polio that they're calling acute flaccid myelitis. All right. And of course, acute flaccid myelitis is abbreviated as AFM for short. So at this point, there's some speculation as to the cause of this this rare form of polio. They think it may be an enterovirus 68 or EVD 68. So other experts, you know, they're saying, hey, we don't know what's causing people ages 5 months to 20 years of age, and the average age they're noticing is 7 years old, suddenly coming down with what appears to be a common cold or flu, and then they develop polio symptoms. So the question on people's minds, especially parents, is if the polio vaccine is the cause. Well, the CDC has been tracking this problem since 2014, and there have been 362 cases that have been reported in the United States, and fortunately, no deaths. Other cases have been reported in Australia, Canada, England, and other parts of the globe. So let's check this out, this new health threat, this risk, see what seems to be stumping physicians worldwide. Well, let's look at the symptom onset real quick. According to reports, the patients reported having a bout with a cold or flu with some congestion, and then after they recovered, the polio symptoms occurred, and the symptoms were muscle weakness, numbness and tingling in the extremities, problems urinating, facial muscle weakness or drooping, eye movement problems, droopy eyelids, problems swallowing, slurred speech, paralysis, respiratory failure, which they needed the assistance of a ventilator to breathe, and also that there is a huge possibility of death. So what's really interesting is that in September 2018, the CDC website stated that, well, they stated this about the polio cases. They said, this condition is not new, but the increase in cases that we're starting to see since 2014 is new. We estimate that less than 1 in a million people in the United States will get acute flaccid myelitis each year. So acute flaccid myelitis can be caused, they say, by viruses, environmental toxins, genetic disorders, and most of the cases we find involve children. End of quote. That's the CDC. And now, according to previous reports, this is supposed to be a rare form of polio that they're calling acute flaccid myelitis, but they're seeing more and more people get it. So if more children are contracting it, there has to be a common contributing factor. So we can rule out the environment because these cases are occurring all across the United States, not just in one area. So I want you to notice now, if you want to visit the CDC website, you can, or if you are signed up for the newsletter at thepowerherbs.com, you would get this graph from the CDC, and it's all about these rare cases of polio since 2014, and it's a very interesting graph. Very interesting. If you look at the graph, if you get a chance to look at it, if it's in the newsletter, look at it there. If it's on the website, that's fine. But the graph about this rare virus for the last couple of years, 4 years really, in which it's clustering. The clusters are occurring in specific months and primarily August through October. But it's happening every other year, which, you know, it's highly suggesting a vaccine issue. So if it's only happening August through October, but every other year, that seems to be the cluster base. Now, there's something that has to be information that's being withheld regarding this for this rare, supposedly rare infection. Now it's becoming more common, and it's showing up in their charts like that. Well, let's look at the polio vaccine for a second, because according to the CDC, the polio vaccine is administered to children at 2, 4, 6 through 18 months, and then they get a booster shot at 4 to 6 years of age. Now, it's also advised that they give the polio vaccine with another virus vaccine, including the influenza shots, the flu shots. So here's something I want you to notice. The onset of the rare polio is from 5 months, within the average age being 7 years old. So the inflammation of the neurological system seems to kick in after the second vaccine at 4 months and the second round of the booster shots at age six. That, my friends, is one big correlating factor. So why do young adults in their 20s, how come they're affected in getting acute flaccid myelitis? Well, if they travel to areas of the globe that, you know, have high polio rates, they're going to be required to get two booster shots of polio. The same booster would also be required if their job is working in a pathogen laboratory or if they're in healthcare working with and treating patients. So the CDC is really, they haven't gone into the report about the occupations of the young adults that have contracted acute flaccid myelitis. So, you know, we just don't know that part of the picture. Well, and let's talk about the vaccine. There has been a vaccine recall in history, recalling a polio vaccine. It was in October 2000. And it was recalled because, according to the pharmaceutical journal, that vaccine was contaminated with other strains of poliovirus. So if they are culturing the poliovirus on animal tissue, they are running the risk of contracting different viral strains. Consequently, that is what medicine calls an enterovirus. So enterovirus 68 that they think is the culprit, they say enterovirus 68 is a rare mammalian virus that occurs when polio vaccine is made from culturing the virus on animal tissue like monkey kidneys or when they filter the serum through animal brains. So, and the polio vaccine offers really no protection against these other viral strains, that, and it will make people sick. Actually, I don't think vaccines offer any protection at all. Now, science has known about the enterovirus 68 and also EVD 68 since the 1960s. And they know that these viruses can produce cold and flu-like symptoms. They also know they cause polio and hand, foot, and mouth disease. There's about 5 species of enterovirus, and science knows all about their genome, all about their protein code. They have a high level of mutation. They tend to invade your immune system controls, and then they have poisons that attack your nervous system. And often science will include enteroviruses in the DNA vaccines. Science says it includes them because it stimulates a better immune system response. Now, one major DNA vaccine is the influenza vaccine, now given to children with their polio vaccine at 6 months and a 6-year booster shot. So another correlating factor, folks, that kind of fits in with this mystery of this new polio disease. Now, according to Infectious Disease Advisor, having a live polio vaccine can produce a vaccine-related poliomyelitis, and it is supposed to be rare, a rare occurrence, and it can occur with the oral polio vaccine. It would also appear that medical science is creating what we call a rare polio epidemic with a combination of viruses in vaccines. Now, does that ring a bell to anybody out there? Well, it should, because this is how they created the deadly epidemic called the Spanish flu. However, there's no profits to be made when people are dead. So the vaccines today have evolved a bit and they're more subtle. It's a more subtle assault on the body. It doesn't kill you, but just makes you sick and then you need treatment. So here is a quote from the CDC. They say, although the acute flaccid myelitis is like a polio, there's really no vaccine to prevent it. Treatment involves neurological treatments, possible high doses of steroids for inflammation, and of course, physical therapy. So this is where you are as a victim of this. You've become this lifelong patient. Here is also a quote from Dr. Samuel Dominguez. He's a microbiologic epidemiologist at Colorado Children's Hospital. Listen to what he says. He says, the extent to which this new distinctive neurological disease is spreading is unknown, but it does not appear to be isolated in Colorado or in the United States. Reports of clusters of cases have been reported across the United States and in France. Investigation points to the EVD68 and is added to the list of non-polio viruses, enteroviruses causing severe and potentially irreversible neurological damage. And finding an effective antiviral therapy and a vaccine is going to be a priority. End of quote. So he wants more vaccines. All right, so let's look at the polio baseball camp. Did you hear about this, Frank? Several professional baseball players that volunteered for the 2018 Summer Grand Slam Baseball Camp for 200 children in Minute Maid Park, Houston, Texas, they came down with the hand, foot, and mouth disease. Yeah, the pro ballers did, the pro ball players. So the ages of the children that attended the camp were ages 4 to 18. Astros relief pitcher Brad Peacock was the third case to come down with the disease. Also affected were pitchers Noah Snydergaard and the Mets pitcher J.A. Happ. I think he was a pitcher with the Yankees. He's with the Yankees. So these pros were put on a 10-day disabled list. Now, it can be common, they say, to acquire diseases in the company of young children, especially after they've had their polio vaccination, and sharing baseball equipment, signing autographs, you're bound to pick it up. So enteroviruses are kind of linked to the hand, foot, and mouth disease, as are the polio vaccines, because they are cultured on animal tissue that can contain these types of enteroviruses. Now, this is really a no-brainer. However, medicine likes to project this story that the disease is common in warm weather months, but has nothing to do with a polio vaccine. Well, what the public is unaware of is that polioviruses are cross-reactive to enteroviruses, which do not have to contaminate a vaccine. An enterovirus like EV71 or hand, foot, and mouth disease and other diseases can make anyone that is vaccinated with polio a big target for these neurological complications. So scientific medicine knows that there is a risk, now an increasing risk, for contracting a neurological illness when getting polio vaccine. Anyone vaccinated with a virus is shedding this disease off and is contagious for 2 weeks. And this is how the baseball pros at the camp were affected. Here is a quote from the Clinical Vaccine Immunology Journal of September 2011. They say almost every human has been immunized with poliovirus vaccine in childhood. However, how this specific vaccination influences the pathogenesis of other enteroviruses and infections and the clinical outcome remains elusive. They're saying, we don't know how this is going on. Well, let me read you this warning. This was a warning on the CDC website. It was posted September 1996 with regard to several vaccines. And I'm going to paraphrase the post. And it says, recommendations of the Advisory Committee on Immunizations with regard to vaccines, especially for those with immune compromised conditions and allergies to eggs, with major changes to the previous recommendations concerning the following vaccines. Possible adverse events are associated with the administration of the hepatitis B vaccine and anaphylaxis. That's a shock where you can stop breathing. Also, measles vaccine can give you a thrombocytopenia, which is a low blood platelet, which gives you a high risk of death from anaphylaxis. Also, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, your DPT, can give you chronic encephalitis, which is brain inflammation, Guillain-Barré syndrome, brachial neuritis, which is pain and loss of function in the chest nerves, and possible risk of death from anaphylaxis. All right, so they know there's a high risk of, you know, them killing your kid or yourself, that they say the risk is worth it to, you know, spare all of society. So we have been really conditioned to risk our life and our children's lives to vaccines without first investigating them. So if you're going to read the fine print on a contract before committing to signing it, you should also investigate everything medicine is claiming as a benefit before using it. Okay, so let's recap. I know I said a lot right there. It appears that the polio vaccine can increase the risk of polio, even rare polio or other neurological conditions when the contamination, it's contaminated with a virus like an enterovirus made with animal tissues, or the polio is cross-reacting to an enterovirus, especially in DNA vaccines like influenza vaccines that increase your risk of a neurological disease, or anyone vaccinated with a viral vaccine is contagious and shedding the virus for about 2 weeks. So it seems to me that the CDC chart that we looked at shows that when children received their polio before school started in August, and then they got their flu vaccine through October, this is when the enterovirus magnified and intensified the polio pathogen. And since medical science cannot proclaim that a vaccinated child against polio is coming down with polio, they have to call it something else. Therefore, it's a rare form of polio. And they are still giving you polio. So the odd reason for this spike every other year could suggest that the CDC does not have all the cases shown on that chart. For some reason, they haven't been all reported. Or there could have been changes to the polio or influenza vaccines that changed the enteroviruses that they contained. And for reasons I'm writing about, scientists and actually physicians often do not endorse vaccines for themselves or for their family members. They see the damage vaccines do, and they're forced to give them to patients if they want to continue to practice medicine. But for themselves and family members, they say no. If they can, that's what they do. Now, if you want to protect yourself from the awful side effects of vaccines, then you really should stand up and just say no. Now, Apothecary Herbs does offer organic herb formulas to strengthen resistance to viruses and bacteria, and also offer herbs which have pandemic resistance. So Apothecary Herbs also has your information on how you can reverse a vaccine after it's administered, and this seems to offer an option for those that are forced to vaccinate for school or employment reasons. Now, many within healthcare call for that reason, actually. So still, the best defense against the risks of vaccines that they offer is not to be vaccinated if you don't want the risk. So call Apothecary Herbs for their immune-boosting formulas. They have a pandemic kit, and they also have the products for inoculation reversal if you want to learn how to do that. Free product catalog, give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. You visit their website, The Power Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. As your healthcare options just became endless, thepowerherbs.com. Hey, if you're on the website, do go to books and newsletters and sign up for the free newsletters and be empowered each and every week and share them with family and friends and pass on the knowledge. That's what it's about. We're going to take a little break. More and on the other side. Be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
"007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live."
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, herb medicine options, coming up next.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
We're back here on Herb Talk, and I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're going to talk about your brain for just a minute. I'm going to switch that on. Absolutely. There's that old saying that some believe in the myth that we only are using 10% of our brain capacity. Is that really true? Well, why would that be? Well, it would be like, you know, having two arms or two legs, but only using one of them. So at the risk of kind of sounding like Spock from Star Trek, that doesn't seem logical. So since our creator is not the author of confusion, we're going to find out what the truth is about our brain capacity and how we can protect our brain. Now, our brain is this amazing organ. We don't have to think about breathing, blinking our eyes, or swallowing if we don't want to, because those functions are automatic. So how much space does the brain need to perform those functions? Well, we don't give many of these functions a second thought, really. And I would think that the brain would use more than 10% to carry out millions of functions for us. Now, I would also think that the section that houses the instinct alone would be enormous. And apparently, it's an organ of the human body that is still largely remains a mystery to medical science. All right, let's look at scientific research for a minute. They have been studying the brain for decades, and they've made these speculations that if man could use the unused portion of his brain, that he could do infinite math problems in his head faster than a computer. Or he could manifest telekinetic powers and read other people's minds. Has anyone really stopped to think just how disturbing that would be? What would you do sitting on a subway next to someone that could be, you know, reading your thoughts? Not a problem if that person is composing maybe a mental bucket list or making mental notes on, hey, I got to walk the dog and take out the trash before I go to bed. is, you know, what about the criminally insane thoughts that could, you know, how would you wrestle with those? Someone may be planning to commit a crime and you could read those thoughts. That would be disturbing information. Now talk about, he said, she said, how could you prove a person was planning a future crime? Perhaps the privacy of our own thoughts is protected by divine providence. Let's hope, right? So I'm not advocating crime. I'm just saying, you know, I think medical science can maybe cross the line on a lot of things. So the policing of your thoughts is one of them. I think God alone does that. Well, let's look at some of the myths. So how did the belief that you only use 10% of your brains ever get started? Who suggested that we only are walking around with a 90% vacancy upstairs? And more importantly, why did people believe that? Well, according to Dr. Barry Gordon, he's a neurologist at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in Baltimore. He said the myth took root because people tend to be concerned with their own shortcomings, and who wouldn't like to think that if they could, you know, activate the rest of their unused brain, that they could, you know, rattle off numbers like of pi and learn a new language in just a few minutes. Well, Dr. Gordon also reports that there is really no one person to blame for this myth. However, he does allude to some interesting candidates, such as author William James, who wrote that humans use only a small part of their brains, and Albert Einstein, who also may have made the comparison to highlight his own intellect. However, Dr. Gordon does state that the myth may allude to when the brain powers down, when you're resting, at which time, you know, he says you're using less of your brain. I think that's probably where it took root. But most of the time, we use most of our brain capacity. That's the real truth. Here's a quote from Dr. Barry Gordon, neurologist, Johns Hopkins. He says, put another way, the brain represents 3% of the body's weight, uses 20% of the body's energy, end of quote. Well, let's look at this muscle we call the brain. The brain oversees a lot of bodily functions like your thinking, movement, coordination, balance, involuntary functions like breathing. So the brain is this power pack that deploys the firing of millions of neurons, and it does eat up most of the energy the brain uses. So scientists think that the rest of the brain oversees our consciousness and unconscious activities, even our heart rate. All right, so picture this. Scientific medicine has been studying the brain's function throughout, you know, a long time. Imagine their studies, the MRI, for instance, that scan your brain. And they've learned that there's this deepening stimuli that the brain relies on, certain sections of the brain that fire up the neurons and generates an electrical light or heat in one section of the brain, and they see this on scans. So doctors believe that our brains are working at 100% most of the time. And according to the neurologist John Henry at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, even during when you're sleeping and when you're thinking, and you have this self-awareness in which several areas of the brain are still working, you know, dreaming. Can you imagine how much energy the brain's using when you're doing that? You know, your mind working through some problems on the subconscious terrain of the brain. Now, intracranially, with the vacancy, people say we have a 90% vacancy. It could mean that we have areas of the brain that could be traumatized, could be damaged, parts of the brain are maybe even missing, right? So it doesn't mean that the person is brain dead. According to Dr. Henry, such people can live normal lives due to the complexity of our brains able to compensate for that. So brain surgeons will purposely avoid an area called a brain cluster to preserve as many functions of the brain as possible. So your brain clusters house a lot of functions like your vision, your hearing, and your ability to move. Now, here's this interesting find. Researchers have discovered that the brain has options. In other words, there is no one clear region of the brain that is assigned to your consciousness. there is no brain cluster for your consciousness, and it can be wherever there's a collection of neurons. So I guess it moves around up in there, your consciousness. So science reports that a mere 10% of the brain is made up of neurons, with the remaining 90% called glial cells designed to support the neurons. So other than that, your medical science knows very little about the function of a lot of these brain cells. According to Robin Boyd, she's a journalist with Scientific American, she says, it is not that we use 10% of our brains, merely that we only understand about 10% of how it functions. That's probably more accurate. Well, I wanted to cover some brain facts or tidbits, if you will. Science is telling us our brains weigh about 3 pounds and is made up of about 75% water. The brain's gray matter is the area that contains about 100 billion neurons. So the white matter of the brain is where the dendrites and the axons are, and this is the network that carries the neuron signals. And there's about 1,000 to 10,000 synapses per neuron. So everyone is considered pretty much a fathead, since the brain is made of about 60% fat. The brain is the organ of the body that feels no pain, because there's really no pain receptors. And you're probably wondering, well, how do people experience headaches then? No pain receptors in the brain? How are they doing that? Well, according to science, the pain is from your pressure on the skull muscles. And the skin senses that, as well as pressure in your sinus cavities and your neck muscles. So the pain signals, they say, are traveling on nerves called nociceptors from these areas to the brain. So for this reason, this is how a brain surgeon can actually operate on patients that are awake without causing any pain. So our brains can live about 6 minutes without oxygen before it dies. And according to studies involving New York children who ate lunch that was devoid of artificial ingredients and preservatives, they increased their IQ by 14%. And in 2003, a study in Discover magazine reported that if we eat fish once a week, we reduce our risk of dementia by about 30%. And if you wonder why you can't tickle yourself, it's because your brain knows the difference between unexpected touching and your own touch. So when your ears ring occasionally and you thought it was your ear tuning itself up for hearing, it's actually your brain doing a sound check. And if you fight with your spouse over the thermostat in the winter, it's because those that feel the cold more have more sensitive channels that send a cold signal to their brain. And when you laugh, it requires 5 different areas of your brain to work. Oh, my gosh. And that explains a lot to me why some people really have no sense of humor. So the average number of your thoughts that you're going to experience each day is about 70,000. 70,000 thoughts a day. Frank, do you think, what do you think about 70,000 times a day, Frank? Well, let's talk about some of the things that will support your brain, some foods that will help you. The human brain is made up of a nervous system elements, and the nervous system needs natural B vitamins. So the brain also needs plenty of water to stay hydrated. That's why when you drink too much alcohol and you dehydrate yourself, you get a hangover. Now, the brain needs proper circulation and natural cholesterol for it to work properly. So when you take anti-cholesterol drugs, that's why you feel foggy-headed. And what the brain doesn't need is lots of caffeine. Doesn't need lots of caffeine. It doesn't need lots of alcohol. It will dehydrate it. And it, you really need to watch those prescriptions and over-the-counter meds that can make it very toxic. Antihistamines is another one. So the brain blood barrier tries to protect your brain from toxins and foreign substances. However, this barrier can be compromised when we expose it to things like radiation, certain infections, microwaves, trauma, inflammation, encephalitis, drug toxicity or poisons in the blood, and high blood pressure. So also heavy metals in the blood go directly to the brain. Absolutely. Now, cholesterol drugs, as I mentioned, affect the cholesterol of the brain that it needs to stay healthy and avoid memory problems. So you want to watch that. And there are herbs that can help protect the brain and offer options to avoid the drugs that you can maybe corrupt the blood-brain barrier. So you have options there. Now, for the natural whole food B vitamins, you might want to check out the body food mix that the folks at Apothecary Herbs have, a powdered mix. You just throw it in a smoothie, and you're good to go. They also have a brain concentrated herbal liquid and a circulation. It helps with circulation and memory is what it does. And they have a heart formula if you want to keep the cardio healthy and stay off those cardio drugs that can affect your brain. So you have a solution there. They have a lot of anti-inflammatory pain relievers in regular and extra strength. These give you natural options to avoid the aspirin and other pain products that can be toxic. So give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. All right. We got several minutes left, so we're going to look at our antibiotic topic real quickly before we go into the last part of the week and into our weekend. We do see more reports about antibiotic use. Now, the BBC is reporting that the overuse of antibiotics over the last several generations has really created that threat to modern health, you know, the superbugs. And not only are the antibiotics losing their effectiveness, but there are also some new drugs waiting to there's fewer drugs waiting to replace them. So they're running out of antibiotic options. Instead, pharmaceutical companies actually are embarking on research for antiviral medications, making new vaccines. But they're not really pumping out more antibiotics to combat these superbugs. You know, you're seeing more drugs for other things, including hair loss, sleep apnea, and stuff like that. So is modern medicine and the drug companies leaving mankind in the lurch with these superbugs that they've created with drug-resistant bacteria? Well, it looks like it could be. Yeah. No amount of awareness right now at this point is going to help with that superbug problem with regard to pumping out more antibiotics to kind of top it over. So we're going to have to think outside the box to deal with this. And I know a lot of European companies, what they're doing, especially with their farming, with their livestock, they're not pumping the antibiotics automatically into their livestock to help cut down on this drug-resistant pathogens, and it's working. So when the first antibiotics were born, medicine really didn't contemplate the serious threat, or they didn't say they did. They knew that the pathogens, and when penicillin came out, they knew the pathogens would be resistant within 4 years. They knew it, but they didn't tell anybody. So in the 40s, they celebrated that, you know, medicine has defeated the death of bacterial infections. Sort of like, you know, the Titanic is unsinkable attitude. But what we got was what we got. Now, lately, the obesity epidemic has become a global problem. And Saturday Evening Post actually ran a story on the war on bugs and why we really need germs. According to their report, Sharon Bagley, she said that people are becoming immune to antibiotics, and antibiotic use has created like a microbiotic genome. And you may say, well, what the heck's that? These genomes, they tend to think and are determining who's more prone to disease and who's not. So she's saying that with all this antibiotic use, it's led to a lot of obesity epidemics, changing your gut floras. Certain gut bacteria makes us feel full and prevents us from overeating. So apparently research is pointing to antibiotics stripping away some of those friendly floras, and then we keep eating and we got weight problems. And so that report links antibiotics to making changes in our system, making us more vulnerable to other things like asthma, chronic sinusitis, autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, and Crohn's disease. I thought it was an interesting article. It had merit. Something we really should keep our eye on. Also, recently, The threat of gun confiscation has concerned millions of Americans, and Congress also knows that death by medical doctors far outweighs the death by firearms. There was an address of Congress by a congressman on the government healthcare system and the travesty of, you know, death by prescription drugs. So it's not a secret. People know that, you know, modern healthcare has its strength in trauma care, but when it comes to managing diseases through drugs and things, it's really a double-edged sword. That's why I call antibiotics kind of a double-edged sword. So it really comes down to a matter of trust, though, a lot of times, what you believe in. Do you trust your medical doctor? Do you take his advice? Do you automatically go ahead and jump into that drug treatment, or do you check it out before you take it? I guess a couple of generations back, people just did exactly what their doctor said. They just trusted and believed him. That's not the case today. The word polypharmacy means many drugs. And by the time you're 65, you're most likely, if you listen to your doctor, you're going to be on six or more prescriptions. The medical expenditure panel actually looked into that. They did a survey in 2009. They wanted to see the number of prescriptions that people buy as they age. So people 5 to 17 are on 2.2 medications. If you're 18 to 44 years of age, you're on 2.9 drugs. Age 45 to 64, you should be on 4.7 prescriptions. And if you're not, when you go to your doctor and they ask you this stuff before you see your doctor, you know, the nurse takes your blood pressure, weighs you, asks you what you're taking. If you're not taking anything and you're over 50, they look at you like you just, you know, landed on Mars or something. If you're age 65 to 74, medicine expects you to be on 6.3 prescriptions. And by the age of 75 to 85, you should be on six or more prescription drugs. Now, the FDA and Kaiser Foundation, they also did their analysis on how many drugs retired folks are taking. And it was a little worse than what the survey back in 2009 showed. Dr. Mercola said that the average 65-year-old is filling as many as 31 prescriptions per year. So the Kaiser and FDA evaluation showed that if you're age 4 to 17, you're taking four prescription drugs every year. If you're age 19 to 64, you're going to be prescribed 11 different prescription drugs a year. That's a lot. So what is medicine's solution to all these prescriptions? Well, they want to make the drugs more over-the-counter, which you don't require a prescription, easier to get. And when this is accomplished, it will really push up the use of prescription drugs even higher. Over-the-counter sales were $17 billion in 2010, and that didn't include the sales from Walmart. And what drugs are they using over-the-counter? Well, the major ones that people are getting are they want blood pressure drugs, cholesterol drugs, migraine headache drugs, asthma medications, anything for blood pressure, of course. So that's what they want. And for this reason alone, they want to make these drugs more accessible, less expensive, and reduce the medical costs, but you're just going to increase the number of people that are on them. The number of deaths by these drugs bring, while people are under a doctor's care, never mind it's over the counter, is astounding. So if they're going to do that and they're just going to make generics over the counter and no prescriptions for this stuff, I cringe. I really do. Now, according to the Consumer Healthcare Products Association, 92% of Americans think their over-the-counter medicines are safe and effective. But according to Dr. Mercola, drug overdoses have gone up fivefold since the 1990s. So if the average American is taking four prescription drugs and an array of over-the-counter medicines, you can see that the risk factors multiplied. So the drug labels don't always contain all the safety information that consumers need. The safety information on a vast array of drugs available is impossible to keep current and provide it to consumers We have over 100,000 over-the-counter medications in the United States. Now, according to Dr. Mercola, acetaminophen or your Tylenol products are the leading cause of liver failure in the United States. So you want to be aware, I personally wouldn't mix drugs and over-the-counter meds. I wouldn't mix them with even vitamin supplements and herbs. The only exception would be, you know, if you wanted to wean off your prescription drugs and you needed something as a strengthener to bridge the gap, then I would possibly cautiously use some herbs for that. So I often repeat myself and I say, you know, you need to clean up that system, get the toxins out, and don't repollute it. So cleanse and nourish the body. The body knows what to do. It's, you know, it's God's creation. It's God's creation. And if you get the toxicity out and you put the nutrition in, the body can regenerate and heal itself. We just got to get out of the way and quit doing what we've been doing to make ourselves sick. So it's not rocket science. It's not a new therapy. It's kind of an ancient thing to cleanse and nourish. You know, use your herbs to purge out the toxins, draw them out of the system, and then super infuse the system with nutrition that is in your herbs. And I mean super infused because that's why herbs are bitter, because they're so concentrated so that you're only supposed to use a little at a time. So that's how we do it here at Apothecary Herbs. And keep that diet really clean. Don't eat the processed foods. Don't eat the convenience foods. Kind of get in that kitchen and make your own foods. Keep it organic, you know, grass-fed meats. Keep it as organic as you can with your produce. And you'll be amazed how that body's going to reward you. Amazing. Just amazing. And for those of you that, you know, hey, they want to drop those pounds, you know, clean up that diet. Your organ cleansing can help you shed your first 50 pounds. And then do your, you may want to look into that intermittent fasting where you only eat during 8 hours out of a 24-hour period. You'd be amazed how that melts everything off. It's an amazing thing. So do your homework on your supplements, on your herbs, before you do anything. And also always do your homework on anything modern medicine is recommending to you. You'll be amazed what you may find now with the internet. Amazing stuff. So if you go to the drugstore, though, and they print you off, you know, here's your drug, here's your side effect list. That's just the top 10. You'll have to dig for some of the less common side effects that you may not want to read about. I'm serious. The risk is there. Not as high as the top 10, but it's there. So always do your homework. Always read physician desk references. PDRs are at libraries. You can pick one up at a bookstore if you want. That will list all the side effects by the drug manufacturers. And this is what doctors reference so that you'll get the entire picture, hopefully the entire picture of any medication you're doctors recommending you take. So be well out there. Do your homework. It's up to you because you know your body better than anybody. And you're the one that cares most about it. Yeah, you can't pay a doctor enough money to care that much. Well, I'm out of time. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice if you dare before you use any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and I wish you all to be well.